The Money Show. Personal finance.
Taking your emails, messages, tweets, any way you want to communicate with us, and so that you can talk to Warren and we can get Warren to answer your questions, because right now personal finances for most people are in tatters. A lot of people haven't been able to keep up with their investments. A lot of people really frightened about the future, wondering where they should be investing their money, hearing lots of contradicting and confusing advice. But I think a really important question to answer this evening, Warren, is a question which just says, I agree to take a retrenchment package. What must I do? And I suppose in boom times, if you haven't been working particularly long, the temptation is, well, hey, I've got a couple of grand that I wasn't anticipating having, and I'll get another job in 2 or 3 months' time. That's no big deal if I go off on a nice holiday. But you can't go off on a nice holiday now, not really, unless you're going to do it locally and spend an awful lot of money. So what should one do with one's retrenchment package when that day comes? And for many people, unfortunately, that day has come.
I think it's a terrifying situation, you know, because you're right. The potential for just popping into a new job and carrying on as normal is severely limited. So I think, you know, if someone was in the position of being retrenched after long service and was thinking of taking a holiday with the view of getting back to the job market next year, for example, I would say, you know, really don't do that. You know, do everything you can in a situation like we're in now to conserve your cash. In fact, you know, I think now is just not the time to relax and take the foot off the pedal. It's really a time to say, you know, let's just be really careful with our money. Let's just make sure that if the job market only recovers, you know, late in 2021 or 2022 potentially, what can we do to protect ourselves and look after the meager money we have and make sure that we get ourselves going forward. So you know, I think you're right. That temptation for a lot of people is real to kind of take the cash and just relax a bit. And just, this is not the time to do that. You know, this is the time to be really strategic. The time to try and, you know, in an emotional time, it's always easy to say from the outside, don't panic. But unfortunately, that is what I'm saying. Don't panic. And to kind of just be a bit methodical and almost put a little checklist together for yourself to say, okay, these are the things I need to do, and take one task a day if that's what you need to do, and get yourself through this. But this is, you know, this is calamitous for a lot of people, and you know, now is not the time to kind of be jumping around and just, you know, quick fire doing whatever you can, because you might end up making a lot of mistakes.
So tell me what the law says in terms of I've been retrenched. I've been given a retrenchment package, and say I've been working in a business for 10 years. That's 2 weeks for every year. So I get 20 weeks of pay, plus my pension is paid out to me as well. And I paid a little bit more than I should have into my pension. So therefore, I'm a little bit ahead. I've got two problems here. I've got a retrenchment package and I've got a retirement fund which have come into my possession. And the temptations are numerous and endless right now, Warren.
So I think the first thing is, I'm not sure about the 2 weeks. I think it's a week for every year that you've completed year of service. And then there's a portion of that, and I think it's about 500,000 Rand, which will be tax-free, as the end of service payout. And so certainly that money, if you've got the position like most people in the world, definitely in South Africa, where you've got a significant amount of debt, then I think that the first thing that you're doing with that retrenchment payment is working out how to sort out a debt strategy. You know, because if your retrenchment payment isn't enough to cover all of your debt, then at least, you know, get to the point of saying, okay, well, you know, how many months can I fund the minimum debt repayments necessary to kind of get myself going from month to month to month? And that would be the first budgeting exercise that I would do, is to say, let me just understand the position I'm in and how many months' grace have I got. If that's a very short space of time, let's just say you were unlucky and you were only working for a year or two, then you know, you've got a couple of weeks of payout. That's not a heck of a lot. In which case, the next thing that you're doing is making sure just legally that everything's been done. So one of the things you want to know is that your employer has given you what's called a Section 189 notice. That's a legal thing. And the reason that's important is because you might well be able to claim from UIF, if your employer's been paying your UIF on your behalf, which they must do, that's a legal requirement, then you can claim from UIF. And so one of the really helpful resources there, and believe it or not, the government does have some helpful stuff out there, is a website called U-Filing. And so go and look at U-Filing. You can register there for unemployment insurance, and potentially you can get as much as 6 months payout from them. So that's definitely something I'd be doing second after doing my budgeting exercise. And I would do that very quickly. I'd do it definitely within the very first month that you find out that you're going to be retrenched. Once you've got that 189 notice, get onto U-Filing and start to understand your rights and what the legal situation around this whole thing. With your retirement fund, I would say that, a lot of people, almost inevitably, the first thing they do is they just cash that retirement fund in, which for me is just a devastating financial blow. It's just not something that you need to do straight away. So if you've got a provident fund, then don't go and cash that in immediately, just as you get told that you're going to be retrenched. Rather move it to a thing called a preservation fund. So what it does is it protects all the rules around your provident fund, but it allows you to keep the money invested in a retirement fund still. So that means that you can move it, let's just say, from your company provident fund, you move it to a provident fund offered by any of the investment houses. I tend to prefer the ones that are unit trust companies, not insurance companies. I just find that cheaper. And move your money into a provident preservation fund. And that means that you can carry on keeping it invested. You're not paying any tax on that transfer. And then, in 2-3 months' time, if the wheels have fallen off further and you absolutely need to access that money, then you can still do that. You don't lose the right to
now, that's important. That's an important thing to understand, because for many people who worry about the future and they go, oh, well, I better keep it accessible. So I'm going to cash it in and put it into a 32-day call account or something along those lines. You really don't need to do that. It is, and it does remain available to you, because there are very significant tax consequences. You've had a tax benefit on your contributions, and therefore, if you're going to cash it in, government says, well, that's fine. You're allowed to do that, but we want our tax back because you're no longer playing according to the rules of the pension fund.
Yeah, and it's a huge tax, because basically what they do is they take all that money that you were paid out from your retirement fund and they add it to your taxable income for the year. So for some people, that means they could give up as much as 45% of their retirement fund in one shot, in 1 year, through bad planning. So to me, it's just something that I'm not saying don't do it under any circumstances. There are times when it's necessary. Like you're going to lose your house. You can't pay for your children's education for the next year. I can understand that there's some good reasons why you might want to do it. But unfortunately, it's a real South African temptation that we just do it straight away. We almost do it first, and then we do the budget second, and then we start to think. And I think that that's just not the way to do this. So I think move it to a provident preservation, and then just start to try just to understand what's happening. And I think the second point there is just take the time to start understanding what your expenses are at the moment and what they should be. I think one thing about this whole lockdown, it's kind of forced a reset on countries, companies, and I think individuals in the way we spend. And hopefully we've realized what's really important in life and what's not. And I think, if you don't understand that that life can happen, surely COVID has taught us all that life can happen repeatedly. So just take the time now to understand what you absolutely have to spend money on and what all the dust you have that you maybe were spending to try and impress your friends, family, neighbors, or kind of real pointless expenses that just now you understand were meaningless. And so when you set your budget in this time, once you are retrenched, just understand what's absolutely vital. I think one expense that a lot of people are tempted to cut straight away, which just frightens me, is, for example, the medical, the medical aid costs, which I think, just that's one of the things you just don't cut straight away. There might be a time when you have to rely on the state, but straight away, day one, don't cut that unless you absolutely have to. Because unfortunately, what happens now is you know, you might end up, you know, having stress issues which cause health issues, and then you don't have medical aid, and suddenly you've just made life a lot worse. Or, you know, someone close to you who's a dependent gets in an accident or something like that. So I think that's another thing with budgeting, is just be careful of cutting things like insurances as well. You know, you don't do that straight away.
I mean, the prospect of waking up on day one of retrenchment and going, okay, here is a finite pot of money. Here is a pension fund, which is whatever size it is. It's also finite. And now I've got no prospect really of getting a brand new job because the jobs market is dead. So it may take me 3 months, 6 months, a year to find new employment. And I've got no prospect of any real income during that time, or at least not the income that I'm used to. And this is where the side hustle really does kick in, and the importance not only of having the emergency fund, because you know, for a lot of people, hopefully they've still got their emergency funds and they haven't had to dig into those emergency fund. And if you've ever sort of doubted the need for an emergency fund, COVID-19 again has reminded you of Uncle Warren's advice of always having several months worth of money available to you just in case the worst happens. And for many people, the worst has happened. Suddenly you begin to look at money and value it, I think, completely differently to somebody who's expecting a paycheck at the end of the month.
Yeah, I just think, you know that side hustle comment is so valid. You know, I've just spent some time with some people that have, you know, sort of four or five side hustles, and, you know, so their main hustle are side hustles. And it's just amazing to see how people are, you know, can adapt to this environment. And I think that would be my other comment, is don't be ashamed. I think what one of the things that happens in when you get retrenched is it's this real sense of shame. You know, I've met, you know, husbands or wives that have been retrenched, and it's taken them 2 or 3 months to tell their family members that they've actually been retrenched. You know, they've gotten up every day, gotten dressed, gotten to the car, and just gone and sat in a coffee shop. And you know, and I think that, you know, there's no shame in a crisis like this to being retrenched. You know, life happens, and I think one of the things is that the psychology around this can just force you into some really terrible decisions. So the first thing is talk to someone. You know, talk to someone you trust. Definitely you've got to share this with your family. Make them part of the solution. You know, don't just hide this from everybody. And then secondly, you know, once you start speaking to people, start to think about the skills you have. And the one thing you've got now is time. And so, you know, for the people who are working, one thing I can tell you is people working in COVID, you know, your time is just absolutely gone. And so being able to rely on other people who potentially would have been working in the past, and you know, helping them in a way and getting them to help you, you know, could become sort of a new way of life for a lot of people. So that side hustle of, you know, offering your services to the people who are working now, I think is, you know, incredibly valuable. So don't discount the skills you have. And that side hustle, you know, mentality could be a way out. And it's amazing for a lot of people. You know, they find a completely new income stream, but, you know, but potentially it might seem like a fairy tale if you just received the notice that you're out. But just for me, just start talking to people and start listening and start reading about the steps you need to take, and set your own game plan, write it down, and then talk it through with someone, and just check yourself, check your logic. And it's amazing if you share this burden, with other people, it's amazing how it becomes so much lighter. Yeah. But don't sit there in a deep, dark hole freaking out about this. You know, that's not the way.
One more question. We talked about, you know, you've got to budget with your retrenchment package, however big that might be or small that might be. And then there's the pension payout, which, if you're lucky and you've been in a job for a long time, could be quite a substantial amount of money. The temptation to cash it all in and take the money offshore because the country is doomed. And depending on where you spend your time on social media and other places, you may be tempted to do that. As a guideline, money in a preservation fund, or, you know, cash it in, pay the tax, and just get out of Dodge?
No, I mean, I think to me that's a no-brainer. I mean, I think if you're retrenched and you've got a retirement fund, the no-brainer answer here is you don't cash it in. You know, you preserve that at all costs. Once you've got a job and you're starting to build up your income again, and you've got an ability to save, you can direct some of your future cash flows to get your local overseas balance right. But listening to those idiots, and that's frankly what they are, who tell you to cash in your retirement fund and set it all overseas while you don't have a job, you know, advice like that should be criminal in my view.
Warren Ingram, no punches pulled this evening on The Money Show.